When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have that dump button ready because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
All right, episode 14, Unkillable. I got to tell you what, I think the easy thing would be to get on here and lament the fact that the Jets won. I enjoyed those final couple of minutes. And when I say lament that the Jets won, obviously I'm talking about draft position. You know, I get it. We've played this game forever. Should you win? Should you lose? Players are trying to win, obviously. And sometimes a different agenda for the fans. I get it, but I enjoyed it. You know, I think, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, life is too short sometimes to root for losses. Now, if it was ugly, and it was like 13-6 or 10-6, not that it really matters. A win is a win, and a loss is a loss when it comes to draft standing, right? Draft slotting. But it was fun. Like, it was actually fun to sit there for a chunk of the second half and see the offense move the ball and have some big plays and enjoy it. And I mean, that 71-yard touchdown throw from Rodgers to Devontae Adams was absolutely beautiful. If I didn't know, you know, how old Rodgers was and just dropped onto this planet, I mean, that was a 25-year-old, 27-year-old Aaron Rodgers dime. It was absolutely gorgeous to the point where, and I'll get to this in a minute, you know, might on some level begin to reconsider how open I am to having Aaron Rodgers come back next season. But before we get into that, we'll get into the Belichick stuff as well. Obviously, fire in your comments, your reaction. My guy Evan will read them all, and we'll have a little fun here on the pod. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Now, I was thinking about this, really, and I'm sitting there like I always do on every boring-ass Sunday, and I'm writing my notes, and, you know, a couple things to jump out. Really, the Jets' first defensive possession is a 15-yard penalty by Reddick, and then Sauce has the holding in the end zone, which negates a third-down sack. And the next play is a touchdown pass. And I'm sitting there saying, like, this is why. If they just had better coaching and a little more discipline, I think the season's still on at this point. Maybe not to the extent with those Super Bowl aspirations, but it certainly wouldn't be a meaningless football Sunday. And then you see the stat that Fox put on. And I can't stand when the Jets are on Fox. I just, I don't know. You get like the D team, the broadcasters. Ugh. But Fox puts up the stat here, 5 blown fourth quarter leads, you know, 0-7 in games decided by 6 points or less before the touchdowns, 33-9. The Jets were outscored in the final 2 minutes or overtime this season. And I got to tell you, like, before some good things started happening, I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game with my son, and it's almost like I've got to pound a cup of coffee just to stay awake. You know, and I was thinking this even deeper, and I'm like, I think a lot of people who certainly listen to sports radio on the fan or around the country, podcasts like this one and others, I think a lot of you think, understandably, I get it. When I was younger, or if I wasn't in the business, I might think this way as well. Oh my God, it's got to be so amazing to talk sports every day for a living. And it, I mean, full disclosure, it is. It's not easy to get here, you know. And if you do well, the rewards can be nice. There's also an intense amount of pressure that you guys don't really calculate because you don't need to. It's not your livelihood. You know, there's politics and there's other things that, again, that underneath the surface that, you know, myself and others in the business have to deal with that the average consumer wouldn't calculate. You know, it is what it is. It's not a complaint. I say that, though, because even with those things that can sometimes complicate the enjoyment of my job, it's just business. So it is what it is. I'm fine with it. I've come to understand it, accept it, deal with it, handle it, flourish through most of these years and situations. It shouldn't be miserable. Like, it's even with the pressure of ratings or launching a new pod, like, it still shouldn't be boring. And I feel like I could say really less 14 years with the Jets, but so many weeks this year and last year, I was just bored. And it feels like a job. Like, it feels like a job. And I will say, you know, when you talk sports, it generally doesn't and shouldn't feel like a job, but it has felt like a job with this team. So that's why I enjoyed it. I know, watch, with our luck, you know, they'll probably get the fifth pick instead of the whatever. And they'll probably miss out on the franchise quarterback or the Hall of Fame defensive end by one draft slot or whatever. You know, I'm sure there's a pretty strong possibility that that's going to happen, but I suspended that for a little bit. I leaned in, and it was just fun. It was fun to lean over and give my 9-year-old son a high five. All right, here we go. Let's go. You know, I'm not going to stifle his enthusiasm. What am I going to say? You know, look at him and say, oh, you know, son, we don't want to win this game. I mean, when you start going down that road, not that I've never said it, but you know, when he hits a 71-yard dime to Davante Adams and he jumps up off the couch and he's all pumped up, who am I to stifle or truncate that fun? So I let it roll, and I was into it. And it was, you know, in certain spurts, it felt like it was real football today. It really did, which was enjoyable. Now, I got to tell you this, though. It doesn't make a ton of sense to sit here and break down chapter and verse the actual game. Though I will get to some Rodgers stuff in a moment, I got to take you back to yesterday, right? So yesterday's awesome. I'm in the car. I'm driving back from fourth grade travel basketball that I coach. And my parents came in to watch their grandchild. Whole family was there. Really just a fun day. Awesome day. As good as it gets, right? And then my parents watched the kids, and I went out to the Coliseum. Saturday night's main event with Sal and Hoff. It was absolutely awesome. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Save that for with Sal. It was sick. So I knew I had a great day. And I'm driving back right around, what time do we play? About 11:30. So I'm probably in the car like 12:30 or so. And I'm listening to C-Mac, who's doing a Saturday show. And he comes back from break and he starts talking about this report that he saw first from Diana Rossini. And then Connor Hughes, and then who else had that? Costello. All three of them were on it. Now, Bill Belichick reached out to the Jets and that he wanted to talk to them about the head coaching vacancy, or the expected vacancy. Obviously, they currently have a coach, but you know what I mean, interim. And I'm like, I got to call. So I'm listening to C-Mac, and now all of a sudden my blood starts to boil. I go from having a great day to now, you know, at least from a sporting perspective, once again, the Jets complicating it because Woody refused to take the meeting and then, or even, I guess, really have any sort of depth of a conversation, a detailed conversation. And I'm like, I got to call in on the fans. So I get myself, because I can't, as I'm driving, I can't start looking at my phone to start following stuff. I'm like, dink, you know, bang out the phone. Then I go, WFAN hotline, boom. My guy Jack answered. He's running the board. Hey, Jack, put me on with C-Mac. I jump on with Chris. And I absolutely bash the Jets, right? Bash him. Now, not bash him because they didn't hire Bill Belichick. That's not the point. That was never the point. What bothers me about Woody Johnson's lack of engagement is that what they could have done, but they're too stupid to know this. They could have used Bill Belichick. They could have strung him along to gain some information from one of the most fertile, brilliant, all-encompassing, even going back to special teams back in the day, football minds of all time, along with Lombardi and Bill Parcells. Instead, they shut it down. Now, I get it. I understand how, you know, Belichick's danced on the graves of the Jets for 20 years, has seemingly taken great pleasure doing so. So I'm not saying that Woody should hire him. I'm not even sure if I would really truly want Belichick to be the coach, because he's not young. He's proven nothing without, you know, Tom Brady. And, you know, I think Mike Vrabel's the guy. I've said that many times here on the podcast. But to me, like, you could have gone two routes. You could have taken the practical, intelligent route, which is talk to Belichick, string him along a little bit, right? And have him even go so far as to talk roster. Hey, Bill, what do you think about this player? What do you think about that player? Take some detailed notes. And I'm not saying you listen to everything that Bill tells you, but it's Bill fucking Belichick. Why wouldn't you listen to some things that he tells you? Now, the conversation never even gets off the ground, which is amazing to me. That's absolutely pathetic. Now, the other thing that you could have done, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not a very spiteful person. I'm not saying that I never was, although I don't even think even back in the day I was. I think I'm pretty straightforward. I think you're going to know where I stand. I prefer to know where people stand, and if there's something to talk about and hash it out, let's do it. Let's talk about it like grownups. Let's have a conversation. And if I was wrong, I'll man up. If you were wrong, I'll tell you, and let's get some resolution. That's the way to do it, right? Woody doesn't seem to be that kind of person, and especially with Belichick, and I get that. But what he also could have done is you could have taken the devious route. And the devious route, if you really want to shove it up Belichick's ass, what you could have done was string him along. All right, put a few chips in that. All right, Bill. It was tough. 20 years, you ruined our football dreams. But you know, listen, Bill. Now you're on the short list here, Bill. Like, you could have strung him out, and then he could have just kicked him in the face right to the curb, and maybe that would have gotten you an ounce of satisfaction. Again, I'm not saying I would have done that, but those were the two choices that, in my opinion, and I don't really think that there's a third. Oh, I guess the third would be to hire him, which I don't know that I would have done. But the two obvious, you know, pretend you're interested and then screw him to exact revenge. Not my style. But what is my style is to sit down and talk with this man and get a sense. Hey, you think Rodgers could still play? You know, what do you think about Simpson? What do you think about Tippmann at center? What do you think about Sauce's tackling techniques? What do you think about, just get some information, utilize it. Instead, they shut it down. And Woody, it shut down and there is nothing gained. Now, let's be honest about this. I don't think that Bill Belichick had any interest in coaching the Jets unless nobody else came to the surface. What I do think, and this is pretty much common sense as well, I think that Belichick's like, all right, let me call the sucker Jets. Let me prey on the Jets and let me tickle their stones a little bit and make them think that I'm interested in them. And then that'll get out because it's New York and it's me and it's the Jets and everybody knows about our relationship. And then maybe some other team out there in the NFL that wasn't necessarily thinking about hiring me, again, if I'm Belichick, based on, oh, wow, there's suddenly some renewed interest in Belichick, despite everybody thinking that nobody wanted him because the Falcons didn't hire him a year ago either. And now maybe you create a little man-made leverage. Oh, wow, Belichick might get another chance. And, you know, I understand that he was probably very likely looking to use the Jets either, one, as his only job, and two, to get others interested. But here's the other thing. All right. So you know that Belichick was going to demand everything. Like, Bill Belichick is not going to the Jets and answering to anybody. You're gonna pay him a shitload of money, and you're gonna have carte blanche as to whatever the hell you want to do from a personnel perspective. Again, I'm speaking as and thinking as Belichick here, but I don't know. Maybe because there's a dearth of options, maybe the Jets could have preyed on that, and maybe hired him as the coach, but with limited personal power, limited juice, limited say. Instead, they never even got to the point of the conversation that would have given them more information than they had the moment before Bill Belichick reached out to call them. I see that that's why the Jets are a mess. One of many myriad reasons, clearly, goes back to ownership. Goes back to ownership. Even if it's a cutthroat, ruthless presentation on your part. Oh, yeah, we're interested. Oh, yeah, we're interested. Oh, yeah, we're interested. And then at the last second, cut bait, get lost. We can't stand you. You can't stand us. But hey, guess what? I got a notepad of information from one of the most brilliant minds in the history of sport. And I think they wasted that opportunity. So that I didn't understand it. You know, I really didn't. And I thought it was a lost opportunity. And that's why, you know, we could sit here, as we have many times on the pod, and we could talk about, you know, whether it's offensive line play or the Jets' inability to stop the run or penalty after penalty or blown lead after blown lead or failed head coach after failed head coach or failed GM after failed GM. All the things that we can do and decipher and lament and whine and scream about, you know, it's going to run uphill, and it's going to run uphill to the big dog. And the big dog allegedly is Woody Johnson, you know, the owner. So it's disconcerting and it's disappointing, but I don't think it's surprising. All right. Unkillable here. A Jets win, a rare Jets win. I feel pretty good. Ev, did you enjoy the win today? Where's my guy, Evan? Evan, you happy?
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. I mean, it was a crazy chaotic end there where the second week in a row, we have no idea how to waste the time for at the end there. I was like,
oh, God,
what are we doing? We're scoring a touchdown right now.
Well, not just when they actually ran it in with Breece Hall, but even Devontae Adams getting a little greedy at the end, not going down, you know? Yeah. That's why, like, they are so, and Ulbrich's not going to be the coach, but, and Schlereth was doing a pretty good job hammering that home. He's like, what are you doing? I mean, he said it like five times. Dude, go down. Burn. They had two timeouts left at that point, the Jacksonville Jaguars did. Burn the timeouts. You got the play clock. Tick, tick, tick. Fourth down. It's a chippy. It's basically a 25-yard field goal, whatever it is. Game over. Now, I know what the fatalist Jet fan is thinking. Well, if you do that, and he pulls one left, or he shanks it to the right, or he doinks it, you know, typical Jets move. But, you know, you can't think like that. I mean, you can, but you can't be overcome with fear to do the right thing. And that was football clock management 101, F.
Yeah, that was insane. And it felt like the second week in a row. Granted, last week was like, it wasn't necessarily their fault because Devontae Adams kind of got pushed out at the end there. But
yeah.
It was just crazy how it was like, oh my God, every other team is probably thinking the same way Schlereth was thinking. The Jets were like, we're going to run this in right here.
Yep. I'll tell you, you know, so let's have a little Rodgers conversation here. Aaron Rodgers, the last month or so, has started to look a little more spry, a willingness to extend the pocket. And, you know, even tuck it and run a little bit, you know, 7-8 yards. He had that beautiful little pump fake where he got the guy to jump up. And I think it was an 8 or 9 yard run, maybe 7, whatever it was. So clearly he's, for his age, he's as healthy, but he's still a little bit jacked up from the knee and the hamstring. I think he has now learned to fully and completely, at taking time, trust the Achilles, which is a good thing. I also know that's why I don't want to overreact. It's back-to-back weeks in 80-plus degree weather, which obviously, you know, the body gets a little lubed up and you're feeling pretty good, a little spry. It's not in snow or rain or wind, which can turn an aging player like Tom Coughlin. Remember Tom, even though they won the game, remember Coughlin in the against the Packers in the NFC Championship game? It was like -9 and his face was red. Everybody was cold, but, you know, it just kind of hits older people a little worse. So I get it. You know, if Aaron Rodgers is playing up in Buffalo today or in Cleveland and there's, you know, 23 inches of snow and 23 mile per hour winds out of the Northwest, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to look good, but he might look like he's 50 at that point. So I get it. I don't want to overreact, but I am now fully of the mindset, and I was a little there anyway. Now I am fully of the mindset. If it's Vrabel, and that's who I hope it is, if it's Ben Johnson, who I don't think it'll be, but as an offensive mind, I'd be open to it as well. Aaron Glenn, less so. Forget about Rex. I don't want him. If it's somebody that I really respect that's coached before, preferably, and they're like, Rodgers could still play, you know what? I'll say, okay, I'm all in for 2025 once more. I'm going to run it back. I'm going to run it back with number 8. He has made some throws. And by the way, he has played with the most amount of drops in the NFL. Now, go back to the Vikings game where he had 3 picks, and he's had other chances, despite the defense giving up leads late, to overcome that, get the Jets in the end zone or field goal and win. And he was, you know, 0-for. You know, that, I get that before today's win.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm not trying to exonerate him, but I am beginning to at least incorporate a little bit of a different prism as I evaluate Aaron Rodgers. How about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way, because it's like an unfortunate year where it seems like kind of a bad year to suck, you know, where it's like the free agent market, the best guy you have out there is Sam Darnold, and he's already sucked here. So it's like, if you bring him back, could he be good, or is that just going to go back to being, you know, crap again? Mm-hmm. And then in the draft, it's the same situation where it's like, there might be one or two or three guys, but if the Jets have the 10th pick, they're not getting any of those guys.
No.
So at that point, you're like, do you want like Justin Fields or do you want Aaron Rodgers? And it's like, I'd probably go Aaron Rodgers, especially if he keeps around Devontae Adams. Today, that was an insane connection. It felt like Patrick Mahomes when he had Tyreek Hill, where it was like, I'm going to throw it. He's down there somewhere, you know? Devontae Adams down there somewhere. So
some of the throws, and Rodgers has made some really pretty throws this year, but some of the throws today were... You can watch the red zone all day, and there's maybe one or two guys around the league that can touch it and dot it. I mean, a few of those throws. I don't mean every single throw. The throws I'm referencing around the NFL. So he still has that special quality. You know, Lazard is completely useless. God, he sucks. Alan Lazard, what? He is just horrendous, dude. He stinks. They need to get a tight end. I know Ruckert had a catch in the fourth quarter. I'm disappointed by him. No wiggle. He's dropped a lot. Conklin's done nothing. You know, but you're starting to see, you know, at, I don't say you're starting to see. I take that back. Not that you're starting to see the framework of an offense. It's ridiculous. It's almost Christmas, and we're starting to see the framework of an offense. What are we doing here? I'm just talking about Rodgers. You know, I said this to my son, too. I said, all we need is a new, all we need. We need a new coach. We need a new GM. We need one legitimate run-stuffing defensive lineman and one more offensive lineman. This was early in the game. And the Jets will be good. And you know what he says? He says, we need a quarterback, too. I'm like, huh, yeah, we need a quarterback. I forgot. And then Rodgers starts planting these seeds in my mind. And I'm not being wildly inconsistent. This is not like And I know I've ranted about a bunch of things here on the pod, but it's not like I've never said, all right, it's not all Rodgers' fault, or, hey, that was there were some pretty good throws there, or, you know, there's a little something there. And if it was like a Gruden or Vrabel, and I've said that stuff. I have said that. So it's not a complete 180 on my part, but I don't know that I fully believed it. I now fully believe it. Like, I think under the right circumstance, Aaron Rodgers could still play. I really do.
Yeah, and I think if they keep, and obviously they can't do it to the 100th degree like they did this time, where you're bringing in Alan Lazard just for the fact that you're trying to recruit him here. Like, they actually have to bring in a guy that's like, hey, I'll actually look for players that might end up being good. Like, somebody wrote on Twitter during the game today that in the Jets draft, on the Jets draft board, they had Malachi Corley, who's barely played, higher than Brian Thomas, who was shredding us all day. And I'm like, that's a problem. Like, if that started to become a thing, if we had Brian Thomas on this team, granted, we got a ton of wide receivers now, but I feel like if you surround him with wide receivers that actually, you know, start, you know, actually doing what they're supposed to do based on this season, it seems like most of the time they're not. So it's like, if you got the Garrett Wilson, you got the Devontae Adams, if you can get that third guy that's not like Xavier Gibson or some guy that probably should be the offense,
I know what you're saying.
You have a chance of being good.
Where do you stand? I want to get some of the comments here in a second. Where do you stand on the stuff that I said about Belichick? What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, it was like unfortunate in the way that it's like, you know, like possibly the best option reached out to you and you said no. I also kind of agree with you in a way, if it's like getting the small parts, but at the same time, some of the guys that have been his like understudies have stunk. So it's like, I don't know if he's like recommended, like, hey, you should make Josh McDaniels be your offensive coordinator. I'd be like, all right, no. But the other thing that stuck out to me when he was talking about UNC and when people behind the scenes were talking about UNC, where they were saying that he wants his son, Steve Belichick, to essentially be the successor to him at UNC, either like 2 or 3 years down the road. And the way I look at it is, it's like, I wouldn't want that. Like, in the end, I don't know if that's just a way for UNC to get him to come to college. Like, I don't know if that was part of that. Mm-hmm. But in the NFL, I'm like, if I got Bill for 3 years and then I had Steve for another 3 years, I might be like this.
No, there's no way he's getting away with that shit here in the NFL. It's one thing and by the way, Carolina, it's not like you're going to, I don't know, I don't even want to name a school to diss anybody, but some little teeny tiny remote outpost that's got, you know, like 17,000 people on a football Saturday that just has no chance and is on life support, and they'll do whatever you say just to be in the news cycle for a day. No. It's, I mean, Carolina is, you know, obviously Lawrence Taylor played there, and that's a great school. I've been on that campus. I played baseball against the Tar Heels when I was in school, and I was there, I guess, 2 years in a row. We would go down for our Southern trip, and they would kick the shit out of us. But they were so good and we were pretty bad, but it's such a gorgeous campus and it's a great conference. So I can see why it's appealing to Bill. And by the way, I think Bill Belichick, even with this NIL, which I'm fine with, although it's getting a little bit much now, the transfer portal, which I understand, but I think that they've got to put some serious limitations in place because it's just the wild, wild west here. I'm surprised that he wants to deal with that. I really do. Yeah. Like, I would think that like Patino for our college hoops, one of Rick's greatest strengths over the years has been, you know, having a team and having a core and having them, and obviously, you know, future NBA stars and all that stuff. I don't mean, you know, two-star prospects, couple studs, Jamal Mashburn, guys like that, first-round picks. But, and then they grow together as a team. You don't really get to grow together as a team because if the core is not getting run right away, whether it's basketball or football, they're bouncing. Or even if they are getting run, but somebody's coming calling with a couple of hundred thousand, or in some cases, another million or two more, you're going to leave. So I don't know why that would be appealing to Bill Belichick, which is why I always thought that for Bill, maybe one of the service academies would be great for him. Like, where you have that no nonsense. I mean, you know, he tells a player to do 30 push-ups, their face is in the dirt before the last syllable is out of his mouth. Like that, you know, that, like that kind of atmosphere. I'd be interested to see how he does, but quite frankly, I don't really give a shit how he does in North Carolina. All I'm concerned about, or all I'm reacting to, is Woody Johnson's inability to forward think and maybe put aside some anger. I'm not saying that he's not justified in him being pissed the way Belichick just, you know, bounced on the franchise all those years ago. But if I can gain and I could play that game of, okay, I'm going to exploit you. You're not going to know I'm going to exploit you. I'm going to use you for information and then I'm going to discard you. Well, maybe, you know, I'm pretty sure a better franchise would have handled it differently, but that's where we are with the Jets. But I got to tell you, I'm happy with the win. I want to get somebody's comments here, Ev. I am happy with the win. I truly am. Again, if it was like not that Trevor Lawrence is great at all, didn't even play, but if it was the Rams win years ago that prevented it, like, that's different. I didn't want to win that game. And I've said many times, there's a lot of games I don't want to win, but this is different in the sense that I just enjoyed it, man. Like, for once, I sat back and I watched the game and I saw this. You know, I saw the Jets score some touchdowns and it was fun. They scored 30 plus points before finally, first time here, it was almost Christmas. They finally scored 30 points. Isn't that amazing?
It's
amazing.
Crazy.
Amazing. Oh, God.
Coming into this year, just looking like, if you were like back then and you told her about now, I'd be like, wow, that's a rough time. But
yeah. All right. Hit me with a few. Go ahead. What do you got there, Ev?
All right, so the reports came out about the Jets interviewing ex-Titans GM John Robinson and also ESPN's Lewis Riddick. But somebody's thought, when you were talking about the whole Belichick using him for information thing, was that somebody thinks that John Robinson can be used as a way to kind of vet Mike Vrabel and also vet, like, their working together process and whether they would be able to work together and maybe use, like, Robinson if you hire him to get Vrabel.
Yeah, I listen, I would be, let me take the names out of it for a moment and just attack it as a general concept. I'm not a fan of hiring somebody that I like or am okay with to have access to somebody that I really like. You know, sure. I want a power hire, and then I want a power hire, and I want synergy. So I know that these men could work, or women, whatever, can work together. But yeah, I think that Robinson's smart in the sense that, at least to chat with him, I think that makes some sense. Listen, the thing about the Tennessee Titans here, and this is probably more about Vrabel than Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, they never had some amazing run. They had a couple of good offensive linemen, Conklin years ago, and some others, and obviously Derrick Henry running it, but they never had one of the years that they won, I think 12 games, 11 or 12 games, their offense was like 17th. We talked about this. So to me, you know, there's no Hall of Famers outside of Derrick Henry. That to me is more reflection on the coach, who is maybe elevating competent, tough players and making them overachieve, which is why he's intriguing to me from a Jets perspective. It's not like Robinson was in the middle of that war room getting him, you know, all pro after all pro, but I get it. I mean, there's a relationship there. There was success in Tennessee. And, you know, Riddick is a guy that I've always been interested in. I like Lewis. I like Riddick. I liked him from a distance for a while. I think that he's smart. I think that he commands the room. Now, you know, how did it go with Mayock back in the day with the Raiders? I'm not just saying that Lewis is just, you know, a draft guy, which is what Mike Mayock was. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued enough by him. Listen, you talk to as many people. This goes back to what I said about Belichick. Get him in the room. Let's kick around some names, players, and decisions. And by the way, not just, hey, what do you think of Sauce and his inability to tackle or whatever it might be? And there's obviously good things with Sauce, though he's had a very bad year. I mean something as direct as, hey, here's the finances. Next year, Sauce, Garrett, Breece, who's different because he's not a first-round pick, but similar age and similar contract to an extent. Would you trade these guys? Are they worth keeping? Somebody like Sauce, he's got a big rep with two all pros. Okay. Would you want him here? And depending upon what I hear and how believable it might be, would shape how serious I am with those gentlemen. What else you got?
So most of the comments were talking about, oh, we shouldn't have won this game. You know, it affects our draft status. Kind of like you were saying in the first place. And this guy, Jason O, said, never root for losses. Good draft picks don't mean anything. The Jets had a great draft position almost every year of their existence and of my life, and it has never helped. So,
yeah. Listen, I certainly understand that. Most times I don't subscribe to that because, in my opinion, now it's got to be proven to be not the case, if and you'll see what I mean. But just because the Jets have whiffed on many other draft picks doesn't mean that it doesn't change in 2025. So I do always try to remain optimistic there. Like, all right, let's say today's win. And what did I throw out before? Like, let's say the Jets pick. Let's say the Jets pick seventh when it's all said and done versus third. All right. Yeah. I mean, sure, you are four spots away theoretically from getting the person that you maybe covet and target the most, but there's other ways to skin the cat. You could trade back. And then you could add to the cupboards. You could trade one of the aforementioned veterans, the young veterans, you know, whether it's Sauce, I wouldn't trade Garrett, but we'll brace whatever. And you could bring in assets that way. It, like, there's many different ways to build this. I believe this, whether it's the, you know, two or three spots separating where the Jets draft, if they hire the right general manager, head coach tandem, and they're buttoned up and they come out of the chute fast, and it doesn't take them a year plus to get going, the Jets can turn this around fast. And I usually do root for the losses fully at this point of the year with these circumstances. For whatever reason, I don't know if it was that the uniforms looked amazing. Those are my favorite unis, by the way. Yeah. I love those unis. They are absolutely sick. They're dope. I love them. Love them. I don't know if it was the fact that, it was a grass game and there's some dirt on the uniforms. I don't know. I mean, is that what's making me enjoy today's win, that the uniforms were dirty? No, not really. It's almost hard to explain. I just enjoyed the win. And you know what? I'm not going to apologize for that. And if somebody doesn't like it, that's fine. You guys can unpack it. You guys can process it however you want. And by the way, most times I'm with you, but I'm not with you today. And again, if it was 13-3 or 16-6 or 10-7 and it was a shit game from the get-go, and whatever, the Jets won because the Jaguars were so inept, which they are. But the Jets made plays, and it has been a long, grueling, boring run. I just said, fuck it. I'm enjoying the game today. And I did. What else you got?
A lot of, like, the Giants will get the number one pick and right the ship, unlike the Jets. But, it just comes down to who are they going to get at quarterback? Because it's like, I feel Rogers. Like the tricky thing for the Giants, if you're looking at it that way, is you either go after Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward.
Yep.
And if they fail, then that's just another wasted 3 years, because this GM has kind of been shown to, like, hang on to quarterbacks for a little while if they show any glimpse of light. So I don't really view the, like, having the top draft pick as the end all be all.
I agree. Now, there's certain years when you're like, when John Elway was coming out, or that again is very few years, because we thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to be that generational. But Peyton obviously turned out to be that player. Although there were a lot of people who thought Ryan Leaf should have gone first instead of second. I mean, he was bigger, he was faster, you know, better arm. I mean, just the measurables were more impressive, which they were with Ryan. All right, so here's how I look at it. Just like if I'm a Giants fan, I'm sitting there saying, all right, now Sanders has to be the guy for the Giants.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there's a thought, well, Deion's going to influence it. Do you really want that? I don't believe Cam Ward is worthy of the first overall pick. I don't myself. I like him. Don't love him. I think Sanders is. All right, he's been around the game his whole life. He's not going to be – listen, when you're Deion's son – now, it's a little too much for me with the nonsense. I do admit that. But he's not going to be overwhelmed by the spotlight that will be New York. And the other thing, too, is if they don't love Sanders, because the Giants are so far away from being good, I think the Giants are so far away from being remote, like, consistently competitive against good teams. I don't mean, like, if they had a decent draft, they couldn't scratch out 7 wins next year, whatever. I'm talking about, like, we are at least 2 years away, and I think it's probably more 3, from the Jets, from the Giants playing Sunday night against the Bills, if the Bills are still really good, like in an AFC-NFC matchup, or the Eagles, or whomever's really good at that point, and us sitting there saying, all right, Giants going to win, Giants favored by 3, Giants favored by 2.5 at home. Like, they are just bereft of talent. They've got nothing, really. They got maybe 4 or 5 guys that I like. And one of whom gets hurt every single year. Andrew Thomas is a great left tackle. You almost can't even bank on him at this point. So if you don't love Sanders, honestly, I think the move is trade out of it. Yeah. Just get a ton of draft equity. You know, get yourself a shutdown corner. Get yourself another offensive lineman. Get yourself a line. Well, actually, they're pretty good there. Like, they could use a linebacker going sideline to sideline. Just hit the three or four different spots that you need, and then maybe see what's going on with Sam Darnold. Like, I think Sam Darnold is more of a fit for the Giants than the Jets. Because if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm saying there's no way I'm going back to that shit show. There's no way. Yeah. Like, I don't even know if Sam wants anything to do with New York at all. And if he doesn't, quite frankly, I don't blame him. I mean, I really don't. But I can't imagine under any circumstance, like if the Jets jettison Rodgers or Rodgers retires, that Sam Darnold, after being with O'Connell in Minnesota with these elaborate schemes, throwing five touchdowns and putting up sick numbers, is going to willingly sign up to come here again. Certainly not for the Jets. Maybe a little more open to the Giants, if open to New York at all. Yeah. But in a long-winded way, I think the Giants, if they don't love Sanders, and I don't think they love Ward, that's why I say if they don't love Sanders, trade out and get some talent. Giants have nothing. Give me one more, Ev.
All right. It's kind of hard to – does Deion come with Shador, which I feel like that's like – it kind of depends on the situation, right?
Well, like Deion becomes head coach?
Yeah. Like, I feel like the Cowboys, I feel like I've heard that that might be – or the Raiders, I guess. But those would be, like, the only two.
Yeah, Raiders would make more sense to me. I mean, what does it even mean when you hear – Giants, you know, the Giants don't seem like a good fit for Deion. Like, what's being implied here? Oh, the Giants are conservative and old. Well, that's why the Giants suck. That's one of the many reasons why the Giants suck ass.
Another banner flew over today. So, I mean, yeah.
I know. I saw that. This one said fire everybody, actually. So it's getting more and more aggressive as the weeks are piling on. Person said, you know, basically fix this circus. Now it's like, anyway, in case you didn't know what we put out last time, let's translate a little bit more directly. Get rid of everybody.
For a while, I
wasn't really feeling the Deion Shador combo to the Giants. But the more I watch the Giants and the lack, and you don't do it just for buzz, you do it for competency and the ability to elevate a program. That's got to be the main, not just to sell tickets or to get a little buzz. I'm a little more open to it because I do like Sanders as a quarterback. I think he's gonna be good, but I don't think that's gonna happen because I'm pretty sure the Giants are gonna bring back their head coach and their GM. I don't think that Mara wants to. I know he doesn't want to do it again. We've talked about this on the radio. He does not want to be embarrassed. He is embarrassed by this constant, you know, hiring cycle. It's embarrassing. And the Giants, like the Steelers, were always known for stability for all those years. And it's the exact opposite. He's very aware of it. And I think he's looking for every reason to justify bringing them back than the opposite of looking to get rid of them. So, I mean, we'll see. But, hey, listen, right now Giants ain't my problem. I got enough problems with the colors behind me, the green and white. But it was fun today. I did it now, not the whole game, as I said.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty, it started pretty shitty. That stupid fit. Reddick has done nothing. God, that 15-yard penalty on Reddick. And then, you know, Sauce, I forget who he was. Was it Thomas? Whoever, maybe the tight end strength, whoever he was grabbing, just grabbing him in the end zone. Like, dude, where is your technique? It's not even close. He's grabbing him. Well, I don't know. Like, he needs to overhaul how he plays because. Yeah. You know, he's never going to be physical. He's a toothpick. And they're not letting him get away with the handsiness that they once did. So he's got to go to film school this offseason. Jets got to decide if he's worth the big money, which at this point I don't think he is. But that's something else for a different pod. So, Jet fans, I can't tell you what to do. I could just thank you for hopping in, watching the pod, sending the messages, get the word out there about the pod, let your buddies know, Spotify, Apple, get out there. There's going to be better days. And most days after a win, you know, I'm almost I'm almost, I don't even know what the perfect word is. Like when the Jets, well, I mean, it's so rare that they win. Like when they won, there was still a season. So this is the first win where the season has officially been over because, yeah, it was Tennessee in week two. I was there. That was fun. Week three was the Patriots beat down, whatever that 20, whatever they beat, they killed them. And then the only other win before today was the Texans game on Halloween. And they had no points in the first half. So even that one, you couldn't fully enjoy because it was a tale of two halves. Anyway, I did enjoy today because I saw some throws that I'd never seen a Jets quarterback make. And if you just tuned in, obviously you guys got to download it, get up to speed, see what's going on. Again, share it with your buddies, get the word out. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is cooked. And I don't want to overreact over the 2 weeks in Miami and Jacksonville with nice weather, 80 degrees, dry conditions. But he has at least shown that his viability for next season, it should at least be up for discussion. And for me, it is. All right. So I'll leave you with that. I will catch you on the fan tomorrow. Hopefully we get some more free agent stuff. Hey, Yanks, let's get some sticks. I mean, I love the Freed move. I love the Devin Williams move. You got to get a first baseman. You got to get Christian Walker. Got to get Bellinger for the outfield. Let's go. I don't know about Bregman on 7 years. These are all things we're talking about. Mets, you got to get a couple of sticks here as well. Another pitcher as well. So the hot stove is pumping. Me and Sal will get into Saturday night's main event, which was wild. It was so much fun. And I will see you tomorrow on the fan. And I will catch you either Wednesday or Thursday when we drop episode number 15. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'll see you guys soon. Thank you.